Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. False teachers often resemble Balaam, whom the king of Midian hired to curse Israel. They falsely pose as spokesmen for God, and they often induce others to sin. Moreover, like Balaam, false teachers attempt to use their ministries as a means of self-enrichment. To avoid being deceived by them, we must be rooted and grounded in God's Word. Please open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola concludes his discussion of verses 4 through 22.
Notice, having eyes full of adultery, looking around with lustful appetites. The phrase speaks of an individual who cannot see a woman without lustful thoughts towards her. They beguile these false teachers, unstable souls. And the Greek word for unstable describes someone who vacillates from one thing to another. They waver, they're double-minded. James writes, "For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Beloved, if this section of Peter says anything to you and me, it tells us that you and I need to be personally rooted and grounded in the Word of God. We need to have God's Word hidden in our heart. We need to be Psalm 1 believers. We need to be a Bible-teaching church, because people who are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God are easy prey for emotionalism and every other wind of doctrine that comes in and through the church. And usually the winds come. They no sooner leave the back door of a church and they come in through the front door. And you know who they come through? People who claim to be Christians. People who claim to be teachers of the Word of God. As we saw last week, the only way that you know the truth from the air is by comparing it to the Word of God, by being a Berean. Now notice, these individuals have forsaken the right way. Well, what's the right way? The way was a designation for early Christianity. It was called the way. That was what the early church was called. They forsook that way. They went astray, and they followed the ways of Balaam. Balaam is mentioned in the Old Testament, Numbers chapters 22 through 24. He's mentioned in Jude verse 11. He's mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 verse 14. We find in the New Testament the way of Balaam, the error of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam. And to sum it up, it describes individuals who are always looking for ways to promote self and who use a religious front for personal gain. A sure sign of a false teacher or a false prophet is self-promotion. John the Baptizer said in John chapter 3, verse 30, this should be what every one of us as believers declare. He must increase, that's Jesus, and we must decrease. Right? He must increase, we must decrease. We want to be as invisible as possible. Christ must increase. Notice, the Bible critics have a hard time with verse 16. How when Balaam was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness or the insanity of the prophet. And they say, donkey can't speak. Well, if God wants a donkey to speak, he'll allow him to speak. Like I told the first service, he allows this donkey to speak every week. I'm amazed that he does. The madness of the prophet, the madness or the insanity of the false prophet Balaam was doubly demonstrated by the fact that he spoke back to and he threatened the talking donkey. Of course, the critics don't mention that part of it. Notice that these individuals are wells without water. They are carried about the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. In other words, they promise refreshment. They promise blessing. But those who are trapped by their heinous fleshly, carnal, ungodly gospel, all they get is bondage and misery and emptiness. Notice they speak great, swelling words of vanity. So a false teacher can be very, very gifted in oratory. They can be very, very persuasive. But notice that their words are vain. There's no substance to it. They are puffed up. They are arrogant. One commentator says they are spiritual windbags. But notice it says they entice or allure those who are double-minded through the lusts of the flesh. Like so many TV commercials, they bait people with things that appeal to the flesh. They offer people a kind of gospel that allows them to hold on to their fleshly desires that are contrary to the call of the gospel to repent and walk in newness of life. Remember, Jesus said, until the harvest, there's going to be the tares, who are the counterfeit, along with the wheat. We see this in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Tares along with the wheat, and at least 5 of the 7 churches. And again, they talk like sheep, but they don't walk like sheep. These false teachers, they promise you everything. They promise you liberty, but they are the servants of corruption. When you and I are born again, we become servants of who? Jesus Christ. We once were servants of corruption. Now we are, by the grace of God, servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if an individual is not submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ, if they are not filled with the Spirit, they will be overcome by something or someone else. Nobody lives their life on earth in a vacuum. You are in one of two kingdoms, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. There is no such thing as a third kingdom any more than there is such a thing as a third gender. You're in one of those two kingdoms. Notice there is no neutral zone in the spiritual world. Whatever or whoever controls our life is who our Lord is, who our Master is. Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. It's pretty clear. I heard a story from Brother Frank yesterday about this man that wasn't sure about which way he wanted to live his life. And so he was a farmer, or he owned a farm, and on the right was Jesus, and on the left was Satan, and then there was the fence. And so they were both calling him. And then the man, he didn't know which way to go, so he stepped on the fence. And all of a sudden, things turned dark, and the devil pulled him in. He says, wait, I thought I could go either way. He says, so I stepped on the fence, and the devil says, I own the fence. There is no fence. You're in either in one kingdom or another kingdom. But notice, even after they have escaped the pollutions or the foulness or the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they become entangled again and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. Now, he's not talking about people who are born again who lose their salvation. And I'll prove it to you at the end of this chapter. Okay? This verse describes the perversion and the defection of the false teachers. They may have made some kind of a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, but by their fruitlessness and fleshly lives, they demonstrate that they had ultimately chosen to reject Christ. In the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about the seed sown among thorns. They go forth, they are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Is it possible for someone to outwardly seem very religious and yet be lost? Well, Jesus answers the question, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, Verse 21 through 23, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. You know what's sad? They thought that they knew him. But Jesus said, I never knew you. Jesus will never say to one of his sheep, I never knew you. Notice they're held accountable for what they did here. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. When you and I, as Christians, read the Word of God, hear a teaching or whatever, when we receive light, we're held responsible and accountable for that light. To whom much is given, much is required. We're required to walk in the light that we have. These false teachers had heard the gospel, but they weren't born again. You know why? It happened unto them, verse 22, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Here's the key that unlocks for us the truth that we're not talking about someone who is saved losing their salvation. We're talking about someone who thinks that they were saved, not bringing forth the fruit of salvation. How do we know this? The Bible, Peter tells us that the person that returns to his own vomit is like a dog, and that the person who is washed and goes back to wallowing in the mud is a pig. Returning to their old wicked ways reveals that they were never sheep. They're dogs and pigs. In the book of Genesis, we find that animals will procreate. A pig will beget a Mr. and Mrs. Pig have a baby pig. Mr. and Mrs. Dog have a baby dog. Mr. and Mrs. Sheep have little sheep. A sheep is not a pig. A sheep is not a dog. A dog will never turn into a pig, and a pig will never turn into a dog, and a dog and a pig will never become a sheep, and a sheep will never become a dog and a pig. You see? He's talking about people who were never saved. They're dogs. They're pigs. When you're born again, you become sheep. Jesus says, I know my sheep. Now, we know that as sheep, we're not sinless. We know that we are not perfect. You know, when we get to heaven, Jesus isn't going to say to any one of us, well done, you sinless and perfect. No. Well done, you good and faithful servants. There's a big difference, a huge difference between a dirty sheep and a filthy and an unclean pig or a dog. You don't go back. You don't remain in the vomit that you were brought out of. You don't remain in the mud. You change. You desire now different things. Your appetite changes. You see that? And Peter is making that distinction right here, that is very, very clear to us. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read in verse 39, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So how can we sum this up? Let me try to make it perhaps more practical. Every one of these individuals or cities mentioned by Peter received the wages of eternal judgment because of their disregard, their dishonor, their disbelief, or disobedience to the revealed truth of God. Jesus, of course, made it very clear to us. In Matthew chapter 7, in verses 13 and 14, he says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be who go in by it, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. How many were in the ark before the judgment? Eight? That sound like a worldwide revival to you? Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, when the Son of Man returns, will he find saving faith on the earth? I don't know about you, but that puts a chill up my spine when I think of what lies ahead for you and I as believers. You're on one of two paths. You're either on the broad path that leads to destruction, or you are on the narrow path that leads to life. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So let me exhort you, my dear brothers and sisters, be narrow-minded concerning Jesus. Be narrow-minded. The vast majority of people on the planet do not like the concept of a narrow path to God. The vast majority of the people on the planet choose to believe that many roads lead to God. But Jesus says he alone is the way. And he says that the broad path leads to destruction. Proverbs 14 says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, every person here this morning, every person watching online, every person on the planet has either a narrow biblical worldview of life or they have a broad secular worldview of life. There's no third, there's no fence. You're either for Christ or against him. According to the broad path, there are no moral restraints. There's acceptance of all philosophies. All religions basically say the same thing. Any lifestyle is acceptable. You are forbidden no pleasure. Any belief about God is accepted. The broad path is the path of a self-made man or a self-made woman. It's the path of self-righteousness. It's the path of self-satisfaction with no regard for Christ, no regard for godliness, no regard for holiness. It's just like in the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's what we see happening in our own nation. You see, the lie of Satan is that the broad way is the path of life, when in reality, the broad path is the path of darkness. It leads to a life of misery, a life of disappointment, because it's a path of illusion. It's the path that Solomon was on for a period of time in his own life. And we're studying the book of Ecclesiastes on Wednesday nights. You should come out the next time we have this study. It's the broad path. It's a lie. Now, Hebrews 11:25 says that there may be pleasure in sin for a season, but eventually the season ends. And then what? The consequences. The consequences of that sin, the destruction, the emptiness, the guilt, the frustration. You see, Christ came to give us life. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy, and he does his best work, not as a drug dealer, not as a gang member. He does his best work as an angel of light. He uses counterfeits who persuade people who aren't rooted and grounded in the Word of God to believe a lie. It worked in the garden before the internet. It's working today. The way of Christ is the way of a cross. Jesus said, if any man follow me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. What do you do with a cross? Now, you know what we do, and please, if you're wearing one today, don't. We shine them. We put them on our ears, wherever we're on our neck. You know what they did in crosses? Somebody died. You know who's to die on that cross? Paul the Apostle says, I die daily. That's the life of a Christian. I die daily. It's not a path of self-pleasure, self-gratification. The Bible tells us to mortify the flesh, crucify it. That's the path of liberty. The way of the cross is a narrow path. People don't like it. They find it harsh. But once you're born again, it becomes the most beautiful life possible. And I have to ask the question. It behooves me to ask the question to you this morning. Now, you take a step back. It's very easy for us to justify ourselves. Think of your lifestyle. Think of the things that make you tick. Think of what drives you to do what you do, to live the way you live, to make the choices you make, choices of entertainment, whatever, how you handle your finances. What does that tell you about yourself? That's the kingdom that you're living for. It's either for the kingdom of light or for the kingdom of darkness. When Christ came, the first words that he spoke in the Gospel of Mark were chapter 1, verse 15. He said, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent." Saints, if a gospel is preached that doesn't demand repentance, it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. To repent means to change your mind, to change your purpose, to think differently. It means that if you are going one direction, repentance means you're going in the other direction. And you keep going right to the end. Repent and believe the good news. In fact, in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, we read how Paul preached to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And once you come into the kingdom of God, you find that repentance is a daily thing, isn't it? It's a daily thing, changing your mind, changing the direction of your life as God's light exposes an area of darkness. Repentance is a good word. It's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful word for someone that's born again. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. These individuals, these angels, these cities that were judged, that we read about today, they got the wages that they desired. The wages of unrighteousness, death. All the while, the gift of God was available to them. And that gift is available to you today. It's available to me today. You know, the more I read the Gospels, I'm in the Gospels now in the morning, and I find myself more amazed at the grace and mercy and love of our Savior. Are you? Does His mercy just astound you? His mercies are new every morning. His grace is so beautiful. His love is so pure. Jesus, He hung around with, remember He was having a meal with publicans and tax collectors and sinners, and the religious community was freaking out, the Holy Joes, you remember? And some people said to those who were following Jesus, "Why does your master sit with people like you and I?" You know what Jesus said? Those that are whole don't need a physician. They think that they don't. You know what they need? They need a surgeon. Those that are whole do not need a physician, but those who are sick. You know, one of the indications of rebirth, you realize just how spiritually sick you are and how much you need Jesus. I didn't come to call the righteous. Praise God for that. I came to call sinners to repentance. Repentance toward God, faith toward Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless His holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.